Okay, it's on again. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, ninth canto, 10th chapter, and we're going to be reading the first text, but first we'll read the chapter introduction. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So you should all be very excited. This is chapter 10, the pastimes of the Supreme Lord Ramchandra. This is the part of the Bhagavatam that deals with Lord Ram's pastimes. So I'll read the chapter summary. The 10th chapter describes how Lord Ramchandra appeared in the dynasty of Maharaj Kotwanga. It also describes the Lord's activities, telling how he killed Ravana and returned to Ayodhya, the capital of his kingdom. The son of Maharaj Kotwanga was Dirgaha Pahu, and his son was Raghu. The son of Raghu was Aja. The son of Aja was Dasharath, and the son of Dasharath was Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the Lord descended into this world in his full quadruple expansion as Lord Ramchandra, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, great sages like Valmiki, who were actually in knowledge of the Absolute Truth, described his transcendental pastimes. Srila Shukadeva Goswami describes these pastimes in brief. Lord Ramchandra went with Vishvamitra and killed Rakshasas like Maricha. After breaking the stout and strong bow known as the Haradhanu, the Lord married Mother Sita and cut down the prestige of Parashurama. To obey the order of his father, he entered the forest accompanied by Lakshmana and Sita. There he cut off the nose of Surpanaka and killed the associates of Ravana headed by Kara and Dushana. Ravana's kidnapping of Sita Devi was the beginning of this demon's misfortune. When Maricha assumed the form of a golden deer, Lord Ramchandra went to bring the deer to please Sita Devi, but in the meantime,
1, 2, 3.
Ravana took advantage of the Lord's absence to kidnap her. When Sita Devi was kidnapped,
messenger.
Sita Devi was kidnapped, Lord Ramchandra, accompanied by Lakshmana, searched for her throughout the forest. In the course of this search, they met Jatayu. Then the Lord killed the demon
messenger
and the commander Vali and established a friendly relationship with Sugriva. After organizing the military strength of the monkeys and going with them to the shore, to the shore of the sea, the Lord awaited the arrival of Samudra, the ocean personified. But when Samudra did not come, the Lord, the master of Samudra, became angry. Then Samudra came to the Lord with great haste and surrendered to him, wanting to help him in every way. The Lord then attempted to bridge the ocean, and with the help of advice from Vibhishan, he attacked Ravana's capital, Lanka. Previously, Hanuman, the eternal servant of the Lord, had set fire to Lanka, and now, with the help of Lakshmana, the forces of Lord Ramchandra killed all the Rakshasa's soldiers. Then Lord Ramchandra personally killed Ravana. Mandodari and other wives lamented for Ravana, and in accordance with Lord Ramchandra's order, Vibhishan performed the funeral ceremonies for all the dead in the family. Lord Ramchandra then gave Vibhishan the right to rule Lanka and also granted him a long duration of life. The Lord delivered Sita Devi from the Ashok forest and carried her in a flower airplane to his capital, Ayodhya, where he was received by his brother Bharat. When Lord Ramchandra entered Ayodhya, Bharat brought his wooden shoes. Vibhishan and Sugriva held a whisk and fan. Hanuman carried an umbrella. Shatrughna carried the Lord's bow and two quivers. And Sita Devi carried a water pot containing water from the holy places. Angada carried a sword, and Jambavan, Rikshuraj, carried a shield. After Lord Ramchandra, accompanied by Lord Lakshmana and Mother Sita Devi, met all of his relatives, the great sage Vasishtha, enthroned him as king. The chapter ends with a short description of Lord Ramachandra's rule in Ayodhya. Citing chapter. Okay? Text 1. Shri Shugu Vacha Katvangad Dirgabahush Cha Ragus Tasmat Pritushravaha Ajas Tato Maharajas Tasmad Dasarato Vavat Shishugu Vacha Ajastato Maharajas Tasmad Dasarato Vavat Shishugu Vacha Katvanga dirgabahuscha Ragus tasmat Ladies. Shuku Vacha Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Kotwangat from Maharaja Kotwanga Dirgabahu, the son named Dirgabahu, Cha and Raghu Tasmat, from him Raghu was born. Prithushavaha, saintly and celebrated. Ajaha, the son named Aja. Tataha, from him. Maharajaka, the great king called Maharaj Dasaratha. Tasmat, from Aja. Dasaratha, by the name Dasaratha. Abhavat, was born. So translation, Shukadev Goswami said, the son of Maharaja Kotwanga was Dirgabahu, and his son was the celebrated Maharaj Raghu. From Maharaj Raghu came Aja, and from Aja was born the great personality Maharaja Dasaratha. So there's no purport to this text. We'll go on to the next text with its purport. Text 2. Tashapi Bhagavan Nisha Sakshad Brahma Mayo Harihi Amsham Shena Chaturthagat Putratvam Pratita Surahai Rama Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna Iti Samgiha. Translation. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansions. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasharath. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Ramchandra and his brothers Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna are all Vishnu Tattvas, not Jiva Tattvas. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in the Brahma Sanghita, in the 5th chapter, text 39, Ramadi Murti Shukalak Niyamena Tishtan, the Lord is situated in many forms such as Rama, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna. And these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead. And they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramchandra, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna, who, being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful, became the sons of Maharaj Dasharath in response to prayers by the demigods. So, Om Gada Timirandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, most of you are familiar with this particular aspect of the story, so I'll tell some things about the appearance of Lord Ram that you may not be that familiar with. So, Maharaj Dasharath wanted very much to have a son. And basically, he had a daughter first. That may come as a surprise to you. And he had a friend who had sons but no daughters. His name was King Roma Pad. Some of you may have heard about him before. And so he gave, Maharaj Dasharath gave his daughter, whose name was Shanti, to Roma Pad. And that's an important part of the story of Lord Ramchandra's appearance. So Dasharath was in anxiety. I want to have a son. The reason he wanted to have a son is there has to be someone to carry out the kingly duties. It's not that you just pick anybody to be king. Any fool, rascal, shudra, vaishya, or even brahmin. It has to be someone who is bred properly. In those days, they would breed kings. That's called, technical word is called eugenics. Of course, nowadays, anyway, there have been some wars based on eugenics, which I'm not going to mention, World War II in particular, where someone was talking about breeding the Aryans, but that's a different issue. So, anyway, so it was important to have the proper person to be the next king. So Dasharath was in anxiety, and he went to his prime minister, and he said to him, "What should we do?" First, Dasharath was planning on doing the Ashwamedha sacrifice, but his prime minister, Sumantra, he said, basically, many years ago, the four Kumaras said that we should do the Putra Kameshti ceremony so you could have a son. So there was a problem with doing that Putra Kameshti ceremony because in order to do that ceremony, it had to be performed by a man who had never seen a woman his whole life. And that's kind of hard, isn't it? I mean, most of us have seen our mothers, haven't we? So, there was one man like that. His name was Rishi Sringa. And Rishi Sringa, interesting thing, his father didn't like ladies. So, once upon a time, Indra sent down a demigoddess. His father was living in the forest. So Indra sent down a demigoddess to try to make him fall down, one of the apsaras. And he just didn't want anything to do with it. And what happened is that she said, I'm going to commit suicide. If you don't, give me a child. And he said, no, I'm not going to have any illicit relationship with you. But he gave some of his genetic material. I think you all know what that means. And that and she wasn't interested in having a child. She was interested in having him fall down. So she took that genetic material and gave it to a deer, a female deer. And the female deer ate the genetic material. And as a result, the female deer had a kid, a boy, but he had like a deer horn on his head. So this river is called Rishi Shringa, the Rishi with the deer horn. So by that time, his father was very upset with women in general. So he banished all the women from the forest, and even there wasn't allowed to be any like female animals. No female animals even, not, you know, no female deer anymore, no female cockroaches. They're all gone from the forest. And so this boy was raised without the nature, without the knowledge of knowing what a lady was. He just thought everybody was a man. It's interesting. Even in ISKCON, there was a proposal years ago to protect the brahmacharis in the same way. The proposal was to take all the ladies that were part of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, and actually all the grahasthas too, send them to Australia. You understand? To protect the brahmacharis. Of course, I guess they didn't do it, so we have no more brahmacharis left. So maybe it was a good idea. Who knows? Anyway, of course, we couldn't do that in Fiji. That wouldn't work. So anyway, his father had this really chauvinistic spirit. That means he was against ladies. And his father was protecting them, and they were living in the forest. So getting back to King Romapad, King Romapad had a problem. Because he had his daughter Shanti, that was previously the daughter of Dasharatha.
Messenger.
Whoops, the phone keeps talking. Anyway, he had his daughter Shanti, but there was a drought in his kingdom. There wasn't enough rain. There was no rain in the kingdom. And so, because there had been some offense made to some brahmanas before. So the prediction was that he had to bring this young boy, Rishi Shringa, to his kingdom in order to get rid of the drought. Okay? Everybody's followed so far? It's an interesting story. And so he was thinking, how can I bring him to my kingdom? So the only way he thought of bringing him to the kingdom was by having him attracted to a lady. So they called for all the prostitutes in the kingdom. They had a sangha. Prostitute sangha. Anyway. And the head of them all said, all right, I will arrange to bring him there, don't worry. But I need some money. And with that money, I will construct a big island on the river. You know, a floating island, like with palm trees and everything like that. Beautiful place, like Fiji. So maybe that's where Fiji came from. I don't know. So anyway, so they constructed this beautiful island with all the girls on it, and they floated down the river to where Rishi Shringa was with his father. But they were watching, they wanted to make sure the father went out to do his prayers one morning. So he was going out to do his prayers, and this lady, the head of them all, she went to where Rishi Shringa was alone at that time. And you know, Rishi Shringa saw her. He just thought she was a brahmachari. And she was dressed like a Brahmin also. And he thought, wow, what a good-looking brahmachari. I've never seen such a nice-looking brahmachari before. And he said to her, and he thought it was him, Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Prabhupada. Of course, he didn't say all glories to Prabhupada. But he said, please accept my obeisances. And she said, in my country, we don't offer obeisances. We, what are they called? Alingana? You know, we embrace. That's what you say in Hindi? A hug? Alingana? That's the right word? How do I know all these words? Anyways. So he said, in my country, we embrace. So he embraced her, thinking she was just a brahmachari. And then, just like we have this prayer to the spiritual master every morning, what is it? Romancha Kampa Sruta Ranga Bhajo. That when we hear the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what tears come to our eyes, the hairs stand on end, right? Romancha Kampa Sruta Ranga. So that's what happened to him. Because he didn't know, he couldn't identify any of the feelings that he was experiencing. You know, basically, it was love. And he didn't know what it meant. So, he started to get ecstatic. But then she saw that his father was coming back. And so, Richard Shringa's father, he came back. And the girl ran away before he came back because she was scared. He was a powerful Brahmin. So, so he came back and he saw his son was just like in a state of intoxication. Because it's described, when one's in love, it's like taking cocaine. The same brain scan is there. If you could do an MRI, you understand? On the brain, it looks exactly the same. That's why when people fall in love, they often marry the wrong person because they're just like intoxicated. So you have to be careful about this. Anyway, so what happened? His father came back and he saw my son is just like in Maya. So he thought, you know, I got to protect him. But then eventually the father went away. The girl came back and she said, please join us in our ashram. We have this very nice ashram in the river. And so he goes to the ashram, the floating island in the river. And they float back to Romapada's kingdom. And then it's rain, and all the problems of Romapada are solved at that particular point. Except he's worried about what will happen when Rishi Shringa's father curses him. So he's really worried about that. So he's arranged for people to greet Rishi Shringa's father, because Rishi Shringa's father by now is on his way to the king to curse him. So he arranges for people to greet him nicely, not only to greet him nicely, but to say that this whole kingdom belongs to your son, Rishi Shringa. So the father is pleased, but he says, actually, Rishi Shringa marries Shanti. He doesn't marry the prostitute. So he marries Shanti, and Rishi Shringa's father says that after he has a child, he has to come back to live in the ashram with me. No more of this lady stuff. So the guy has some issues there, some really serious issues. So, and then at that point, there was a discussion in Dasharatha's kingdom, Sumantra and Dasharatha, where can we find someone who has not seen a lady, you know, until he got married or something. They come to the conclusion that's Rishi Shringa. So Dasharath sends Sumantra to Romapada's kingdom to ask to borrow Rishi Shringa. So Rishi Shringa can come and perform this Putra Kameshti ceremony. So this part you're familiar with, I'm sure. So Rishi Shringa comes, performs the ceremony. Normally when someone is wants a son, they produce this kheer, and he gives it to Dasharatha's three wives. And you all know that part of the story, you all know. And so then Lord Ramchandra is born, and then you have Bharat, Lakshman, and Shatrughna, the four personalities. So here in this verse, it's a little bit of history there. So here in this verse, it's very explicitly described that they were all the Supreme Personality of Godheads. which is, or Godhead, as the case might be. So that appears to be a little bewildering because we claim to be monotheists. Monotheist means that we are believing in one God. However, here you have four gods. And then you also have Krishna. And you also have Karma, Matsya, Parashuram, I mean all these other different personalities of God. If you go to the Bhagavatam, the incarnations of the Lord chapter, you'll see all these different incarnations. And actually it's described, there's unlimited incarnations of the Lord, just like the waves of the ocean. In other words, the waves come one after the other, the incarnations come one after the other. And Prabhupada says there's incarnations in every species of life. So in other words, we are polytheistic. No, not really. Polytheistic means many gods. Many gods. Just like sometimes in Hindu culture, they can't figure out who's God, right? And they say, the gods. And actually, there's 33 million of them. So your altar would be quite crowded with 33 million deities, right? That'd be a big altar. So you got problems. But actually, there's one God. As Prabhupada quotes here from the Brahma Sangita, Advaita Chudanariya Ananta Rupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Navayoga Vichara. So, there's one God, but he appears in a variety of forms simultaneously, which is pretty amazing too. I mean, I can understand how one person, let's say one actor, one Bollywood actor.
One, two, three.
One Bollywood actor can perform different roles in different plays. That's perfectly understandable by me. However, I can't understand how a Bollywood actor can perform different roles in different plays or different movies all at the same time. That's incredible, isn't it? I can't do two things at the same time. I can't be two places at the same time. But Krishna, he can be in unlimited places simultaneously doing different things. Just like when Narada Muni, he came to visit Krishna when Krishna was in Dwarka with his wives, 16,108 wives. And in each and every house, Krishna was doing different things. It's interesting, Krishna was even playing with his kids. Can you imagine God playing with his kids? He was playing with his kids, talking to his wives, planning out something, having a little chess game in different houses. Narada Muni was amazed at that. So that is Krishna's opulence. He's the same person. Of course, the original personality of God, it is Krishna. Ete jansa kalatvamsa. Krishna's too. Bhagavan Swayam. We know that from Shastra. I mean, people may have a different opinion, but that's just their opinion. Some people say, oh, Vishnu is the supreme. Some people say, Lord Ram is supreme and all the incarnations. So everybody has a different opinion, but we are not giving our opinion. We're speaking according to Shastra. So Krishna is the original. And as the original manifestation of God, even though it's the same person, he exhibits more opulences, more qualities than any other expansion of his. And specifically, he plays a flute. Nowhere else does Krishna play a flute other than Vrindavan. You may see, sometimes in the movies, the Hindi movies, they show Krishna with a flute in Dwarka. Not true. Krishna never touches flute. He puts his flute aside when he leaves Vrindavan. Krishna has unexcelled beauty in Vrindavan. It's unexcelled by any other expansion of his. Even Lord Vishnu, he made a trick in order to see Krishna. So anyway, so Krishna, and he has intimate devotees. Devotees who can chastise him, like Yashodavai, who can run behind Krishna, chasing him with a stick. In Dwarka, nobody chases Krishna with a stick. Nobody chases Lord Narsingadev with a stick, do they? Nobody chases Lord Ram with a stick. Maybe is button out with a stick. No. And then he has intimate pastimes. So these are the aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we hear about Lord Ram's pastimes in Ayodhya, we should understand that all of his brothers, they're also God. And they're also the same person. And they're all serving Lord Ram, which is really interesting. Of course, in every incarnation, when Krishna appears, he appears with his expansions. We say we have We have the example of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appearing. Panchatattva appears, the five truths. We have Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram, Advaitacharya, who is the Mahavishnu. And then we have Gadadhar, who is Radharani, and then we have Narada Muni appearing as Srivastakur. So whenever Krishna comes, he comes with his whole entourage. And the same thing with Lord Ramchandra. His brothers are assisting him. And they are so faithful in assisting him, like we were reading in the chapter summary here, that Lakshman, the whole time that he was in the forest with Lord Ram, he didn't eat. Did you know that? Because Lord Ram never told him to eat. He just followed Lord Ram's orders so nicely. And you have Bart, who was so dedicated to Lord Ram that he would not even sleep above the earth when Lord Ram was in the forest, in the Dandakaranya, and Lord Ram was in exile. He would not even sleep on the ground. He had to sleep underneath the ground. And he was just eating things cooked in cow urine. Can you imagine that? I mean, cow urine? Gomutra. I mean, can you imagine? And he was just living very austere. Didn't even enter Ayodhya. And even though he was the king, didn't even... So this is an example of extreme, let's say, love and service. So even the Lord's incarnations, the Lord's expansions, are serving him in such love and devotion that it's unimaginable. What to speak of how we should be serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? In that same aspect, of that same mood of love. So these, his incarnations are showing us examples of how to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyway, so this is the story of Lord Ram. And in the next few days, we're going to be speaking about some of these pastimes. So, any questions or comments? Questions? Comments about Lord Ram or more stories you want to hear? No? What? One more story. Okay. Okay, so, let's see, I'm going to pick a story that's not covered here. Okay. Then there's the story that's mentioned here in the introduction of the chapter, Viswamitra Muni. So Viswamitra Muni, his whole pastime is told in the Valmiki Ramayana, how he became Viswamitra Muni. So Viswamitra Muni previously was a Kshatriya. And Viswamitra Muni was touring with his Kshatriya entourage, that means his army. And he arrived at the ashram of Vasishtha Muni. And so when he arrived at the ashram of Vasishtha Muni, he was received by Vasishtha Muni, and Vasishtha Muni said to him, whatever your soldiers want, they can sit down and take some prasad. And Viswamitra said, no, I don't want to put a burden on you, because we got thousands or maybe tens of thousands or maybe millions of soldiers. And then Vasishtha said, no problem, just let him sit down, take some prasad. And Vasishtha Muni had this Kamadenu, Nandini, and she was capable of providing unlimited food to all the soldiers, to anyone. Not only unlimited food, she could provide anything. So what happened is that Vasishtha Muni and his soldiers sat down and one of them ordered pizza, the other one ordered pasta. Anyway, whatever that people ate in those days, I don't know. We don't know. We don't know. Certainly they didn't eat halva because that's a Middle Eastern dish that came later to India. Although many of you think that that's completely Vedic, it's not. Halva came, that word is actually Arabic, to let you know. So anyway, they were eating, very happy, they got whatever they wanted to eat, and then the Kamadhenu, she produced dancing girls to entertain them after the meal. And so when they saw that, they were really happy. Then Vishramitra Muni, Vishramitra wasn't Muni, Vishramitra King Maharaj Vishramitra, he asked, Vashishtha, please give me this cow, I will give you millions of regular cows in exchange. And Vashishtha, he said, no, this Kamadhenu is responsible for all my sacrifices. She's the wealth of my life. And so Vishramitra eventually said, I'm going to take her anyway, too bad. So he took her forcefully. And somehow or other she broke away and she went back to Vashishtha and she said to Vashishtha, you know, save me. And Vashishtha said, well, I don't want to fight, but, you know, I would like you to stay. And when she heard these words, all the soldiers came out of her udder and rear end of the cow. These different varieties of soldiers, and they attacked Vishramitra's whole army, basically killed everybody. And even at a certain point, Vishramitra's sons were killed. So this is a whole story from the Valmiki Ramayana. So then Vishramitra got very upset, thinking that Brahmins are more powerful than Kshatriyas, so I have to become a Brahmin. So he began to execute austerities, and eventually the demigods gave him some celestial weapons, came back to the ashram of Vashishtha Muni, attacked Vashishtha Muni again. It really harassed all the residents of the ashram of Vashishtha Muni. They ran away. And Vashishtha Muni just raised his staff, his Brahminical staff, and absorbed all of these different weapons. And so Vishramitra Maharaj got really upset at that particular point. One interesting thing is that the name Maharaj is a king's name. It's not actually a Brahminical name. It's the name of a king. Maharaj means great passionate one. But nowadays we use it for sannyasis because I guess sannyasis are greatly passionate too for some reason or other. Anyway, it's become common use for sannyasis. But really it's a Kshatriya name. So Vishramitra Muni went back, started performing austerities. He became, at a particular point, he became Raja Rishi. It wasn't good enough for him. He wanted to be a Brahma Rishi. What's that? He wanted to be a Brahma Rishi rather than a Raja Rishi. So he started to perform more austerities. Then what happened is that Indra sent down Menaka, this society girl. Menaka came down, rang her ankle bells. Vishramitra Maharaj forgot about his austerities for a little while. And as a result, Shakuntala was born. Shakuntala later on married Maharaj Dushmanta, gave birth to Bart, whom this Bart Varsha is named after. That's another story. That's a whole interesting story about Shakuntala and Dushmanta. Anyway, won't get into that story. And so then, so Vishramitra began to become more austerities and more austerities. He was tested by Indra. Actually, Ramba came, another demigoddess, and he burnt her. Yeah. And so he lost it. He keeps losing his potency by being tested by the demigods because he fails the test. Another time he was sitting under a tree, Prabhupada tells the story, and he was meditating and a bird passed stool on his head, And he burnt the bird to ashes by his yogic powers. And then he lost more of his austerity. I mean, again and again, you hear these stories about Vishwamitra Muni being, Vishwamitra Maharaj or Muni, being tested by the demigods. Eventually, he's tested, the final test, he's hungry, he's supposed to break his fast, the demigods come, they ask for food, he gives them all of his food, passes the test, becomes a Brahma Rishi, and by that time, because he's done all this austerity, he becomes friends with Vasishtha Muni. So now they're buddies. So then getting back to the story of the Ramayana, when Vishwamitra Muni comes to ask for Ram, the reason being that Maricha and other demons are attacking his sacrifice, then Vasishtha Muni advises Dasarath, you can give Ram to him because he's very powerful, he will protect Ram. And then Ram goes with Vishwamitra and protects that sacrifice. And during that sacrifice, Ram raises his bow and doesn't kill Marich. That's Ravana's uncle's Marich. He actually sends Marich into the ocean, like 80 yojanas away, like 800 miles away. And because he doesn't want to kill Marich at this particular point, because he has in mind to use him later on as a part of the pastime, because Marich becomes a deer, you all know that story. He does kill Tataka, who is Marich's mother, on the way to the sacrifice. So anyway, I mean, we can go on forever and ever with these different stories. So any questions? We got half a minute left before we greet the deities. So, of course, you're all Ram Bhaktas. You love these stories. Most of you are more Ram Bhaktas than Krishna Bhaktas. Questions? Jambavan, you're part of the Ramayana. You're the king of the bears. So? Not be called Jambavan, maybe Jambavati. That's just a joke. You know, no. Our siddha deha, our perfect spiritual body, will not have the same name as we have our initiated name here. Our initiated name here indicates that we're servants of Krishna, but we have. We have a specific name in the spiritual world, and whatever that is, you will discover by performing bhakti. Whatever it is, whether it's male, female, a cow, bird, tree, or gopi, whatever it is, that you'll discover. If you chant sincerely, that name will be revealed to you. But when it's revealed to you, you will not go around calling yourself by it. You know, if I say Jambavan, you say, no, my name is Sudevi, or Jambavati, or whatever. You won't do that. You'll keep it secret, because one is supposed to keep hidden their Ishtadeva, their worshipful deity, their identity, and also the beads, generally, in public, are kept hidden, and, you know, the Brahmin thread and everything like that. So the injunction is that whatever's happening internally, you don't discuss it with others. That's your... with your guru you could discuss it, but that's about it. Or with some advanced pure devotee, Siksha Guru. But that's something different. So don't worry. That will not be your name eternally. So, we have to greet the deities. Thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Greet everybody, Radhamohan, Rishikesh, Gachiyani, Sonia, Sita Sundari, Ujjala Nilamani Das, Rajagopi, Nilamandri, Divya Gupta. Jai! Shishi Gorda Jai Ki Jai! Om Bhajami Dham Hare Purusham Om Bhajami Govindam Hare Purusham Om Bhajami Venam Ganantam Vindadalayakaksham Avatam Tamasitap Sohunarangam Kanda Koti Maliya Shesha Sova Jai! Radhagolok Bihari, Radhagolok Bihari, Kajai! Govinda